Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Man, my next guest, I'm so excited to talk to him. He has been just about everywhere. You know him from Dirty Jobs on the Discovery Channel. He hosted a series produced by Facebook called Returning the Favor, which was great, in which he found people doing good deeds and did something for them in return. He hosts a great podcast called The Way I Heard It with Mike Rowe. He's narrated programs on the Discovery Channel, Science Channel, National Geographic Channel, Deadliest Catch, How the Universe Works, and Shark Week. He has appeared in commercials for one of our great sponsors, the Ford Motor Company. Mike Rowe joins us here in the National Defense. Mike, how are you?
Man, you make me sound busy, Randy, but I guess I'm good.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, it's so nice of you to take the time, especially in the holidays, to talk to us. Do you slow down at all during the holidays?
No, actually. It's a strange thing, but when you work on multiple projects, you promote multiple projects.
Right.
And, you know, I'm super fortunate. I've never had so much going on at the same time. It's everything you mentioned, plus a show called How America Works
right.
on Fox Business, and another show called The Story Behind the Story on TBN, and a line of whiskey called Noble, and a foundation that has completely blown up around me. So I'm kind of in the it's like falling down the stairs. You know, you make you make great progress quickly, but it hurts.
Well, you know, we had Jerry O'Connell on the show a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I said, man, you're on everything. It's like a mandate now that you got to host every game show. And he said, 2 years ago, I was sitting at home in my underwear thinking I'd never work again. And he said, but now I'm everywhere.
Yeah, it's like stepping in gum. You know, it's a strange business, and it's always changing. And, you know, lockdowns had a huge impact, of course, on everything.
Sure.
But you can go. I mean, he's right. Jerry's right. You can go from sitting around wondering if you'll ever work again to marveling at how, you know, all 31 squares in the month suddenly got filled in. And, you know, it's like a farmer. You know, you plant more stuff than you think will grow, knowing that some of it will die. And every so often, the rain and the sun shine and rain perfectly. And all of a sudden, you got to get the crop. And so, boo-hoo. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, right, right. We're talking to Mike Rowe here in the National Defense. It's a lot like morning radio that I used to do, Mike. You throw everything you can against the wall and just hope that one thing sticks.
Yeah.
At some point, right?
Right. And that's how your career goes. And then one day, either nothing sticks and you panic or everything sticks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, your podcast is phenomenal. I just listened to an episode, the one about sometimes you just got to squeeze the beaver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you do. Yeah.
Now, who's the guy that hosts this with you? He's fantastic.
His name is Chuck Klausmeier, and he's an old high school buddy, you know, and yeah, I've literally known the guy over 40 years, and it's just one of those things that happens, you know, as you get older, you know, if you're in my line of work anyway, and if you've been lucky enough to, you know, have some shows that people actually watch, then the relationships from the old days become weirdly more important. And,
right, right.
You know, in relative terms, I'm sure the same is true, you know, for people who serve, you know, it's a weird band of brothers mentality. And, you know, so it's important to me now to work with people who knew me in the old days because, you know, you can kind of trust them.
Yeah. Well, they were authentic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this guy, Chuck, you're talking about, he and I, we really came up, you know, in a very similar way. We used to sing in a barbershop quartet.
I read that.
And like, that's such a weird part of my distant past. But to have this guy back in my life now, Chuck works on the foundation. He pops up in all kinds of commercial campaigns. You know, we write jingles together for sponsors of the podcast who didn't ask for them, but we just give them to them anyway.
That's so cool.
You know, because it amuses ourselves.
Right. You know, the podcast kind of reminds me, I don't know if you're a Paul Harvey fan, Okay. But, you know, I know that you wrote all of these stories, you researched them, and that's the tough part, right? I mean, it's one thing to tell them, but, and tell them in a great way that you do, but to have those stories, it kind of reminds me of the rest of the story from Paul Harvey.
Well, thanks. I mean, Paul Harvey inspired, you know, the podcast in its original form was me writing short mysteries, telling you something you didn't know about someone famous who you do, and you get to figure out who I'm talking about along the way.
Right.
That's how it started 6 years ago. That turned into a book. That book turned into a TV show. And now the podcast is this longer form. We still do the short stories, but we also have guests on and we'll talk for an hour or two. And so it's just another way. I mean, honestly, I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but it's really just a way to amuse ourselves, you know, and if other people come along for the ride, well, then that's a model that you can run with. And honestly, that's, if there's a secret recipe to all the stuff I do, that's what it is, you know, amuse yourself, let the viewer or the listener be involved in the content. And then, you know, just try and not make an ass out of yourself if you can.
Or make an ass out of yourself. Either way.
You know what? I'm not sure there's a difference anymore.
Well, right? We're talking to Mike Rowe here, the National Defense. So you talked about barbershop quartets. I got to tell you just a quick story. I used to do a morning show in Atlanta, and I love barbershop quartets. And we would have these guys come in and do pop versions or barbershop quartet versions of pop songs, like Michael Jackson's Bad and different things like that. So my wife goes out of town. She's coming back on Valentine's Day. I bring these guys to the airport. And as soon as she steps off the plane, they go into it. And I mean, it was a... It was on TV, you know, it's every, I mean, how many times do you see a barbershop quartet at the airport? And it was just phenomenal. And I just don't think they're giving enough credit.
Well, look, it's like anything else, you know, when it's good, it's great.
Yeah.
When it's bad, yeah. When it's bad, it's staggering.
All it takes is one.
That's right. You know, and quartetting is, it's one of those, it's like the ultimate team sport for singers. You know, you're only as good as your weakest link. And you know, the great weird tragic thing about that form of music is, you know, you can stand in a stairwell with three guys you've never met who all know the same basic songs, and they call it woodshedding, you know, because you ought to do it in a woodshed, but you figure out what the harmonies are. And it's great fun to do, but until you really get it right, it's a real torture to listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but,
so,
but when it's right, when it's right, it's amazing.
Oh, it's, look, there's a thing on my Facebook page right now. I literally posted it yesterday where I'm singing all four parts to the Dirty Jobs theme song, which I wrote years ago. And again, I did it mostly to amuse myself, and I just put it up there, and it just strikes a chord, so to speak, in a lot of people who, you know, singing is it's its own language.
Yeah.
And people are always surprised when they hear about my background. You know, I started in the opera.
Right.
I started as a singer. And so I've, you know, I don't want to lose touch with the crazy weirdness of those days. And so the podcast and various other shows I work on at this point in my career, you know, I write my own songs and I sing them, and, you know.
And you just always seem like you're having a good time. And I think that's the other kind of magic of what you do and why people like it. And it, especially if people go to MikeRowe.com, there's so many entertaining things there. But this is the first time I'm hearing about the whiskey. Tell me about the whiskey.
Well, like most good things that I Forrest Gumped my way into, this was an accident. I decided during the lockdowns that it would be good to bring Dirty Jobs back because, yes. Right? I mean, it was headline news, you know, essential work. And a lot of people were asking, you know, why not do new eps? And I didn't have a good reason not to. It's a great way for me to promote my foundation. But this year, I thought, you know, Dirty Jobs was dedicated to a guy named Carl Noble, who happened to be my granddad. And he only went to the seventh grade, but, you know, by the time he was 30, he was building houses without a blueprint. He was just a mechanical genius. And Dirty Jobs was a tribute to him. And my foundation, MicroWorks, was a tribute to him. And so he only had daughters. And when he died, his name kind of died with him. And it's Knobel, K-N-O-B-E-L. So I came across some really great five-year-old Tennessee whiskey that was down in a distillery in Tennessee. And I tasted it, and I just thought it was great. So I had a sort of a weird opportunity to buy a tranche of it, and I did. And I started selling it as a fundraiser for my foundation. It's called Knobel. And it was just a tribute to my pop.
Wow.
And oh, my God. Well, we sold out in like 4 days. So we got more and sold out in a couple of weeks. And then I finally got it on shelves. You know, I've just been shipping it through the internet. And now it's a thing. And so it looks like we're going to be in the whiskey business.
Wow.
And
that's cool.
Why not, right? I mean, it's just one more thing. I'll probably write a song about it, sing about it.
Right. Hey, you have a couple of weed rams. You'll sing a lot of songs about it.
Not so wee, but yeah.
I want to talk about your foundation here in a second because it's fantastic, but I want to go back to something you said at the beginning is, you know, you keep moving, you're doing stuff, you're always at it, and that could not be more true for a long life. I interviewed a guy yesterday, 101 and a half years old, TK. He fought in World War II, and I said, so TK, what's your secret? And he sounds, I mean, he's just on the phone. He's just, you know, sounds fantastic. He sounds 100. And he said, you got to keep going. And a lady that was on the call with him said, he mows other people's lawns. And he goes, yeah, but it's a riding mower. But that's exactly, and that kind of leads me into your foundation, because those kinds of thought patterns, those kinds of processes, you don't run across a lot anymore. And, you know, what you've done with the MicroWorks Foundation in terms of rediscovering what makes America work and getting these kind of jobs that were, I guess, maybe once looked down upon, for people to take pride in those kind of jobs and the scholarship. I mean, the numbers on this, $5.2 million of scholarships that you've granted through this foundation, man, that's fantastic.
Well, thanks. And yes, you know, the great lesson from Shark Week is like the shark.
That's a book right there. That's a book right there. The great lesson from Shark Week
is never stop moving. Sharks never stop moving. They can't, you know, if they do, they die, right? A shark is always in motion. And, you know, I learned that a long time ago. And I just thought as a mode of self-preservation, there's probably some wisdom in that. So I look at life like a card game, you know, and I'm not dealing. I just get to play the cards I get. Mm. And so Dirty Jobs were good cards. And I played them as best I could. And then the next question becomes, well, now what? Or maybe so what? And I thought, well, yeah, this will lead to other shows and that'll be fun. But there was a big problem underlying all of those shoots, you know, and I would talk to people in all 50 states, and I've been doing this for 15 years, and they all talk about the difficulty of recruiting and hiring people who want to learn a skill that's in demand. And most of these jobs, you know, they require training. You don't need a four-year degree. You just need a great work ethic and a willingness to learn a skill that's in demand. So I just thought, I mean, why not? You know, it's one more thing to do, but it also gave me a reason beyond, you know, exploding toilets and misadventures and animal husbandry to, you know, go around the country and tell the stories of a lot of these small business people who are desperate to hire welders and steam fitters and pipe fitters and plumbers and electricians and all that stuff. The kinds of jobs my granddad did, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it just started as a PR campaign for good jobs that nobody wanted, turned into a scholarship fund. We actually just went over $6 million last month.
Wow.
And so, you know, we're doing what we can. We've trained about 1,600 people. And, you know, as long as I'm upright, you know, and cutting other people's lawns.
Yeah, I'll keep doing this. Of course, our audience is mainly active duty military, veterans, and their families. And that message now is resonating with those folks in terms of, hey, you know what? These skills that I had in the military, I can do this. I can get into these jobs and I can get the training. We're based in Kansas City, Missouri, and there's a great group out here that is working with the Department of Defense out of Wichita. Not that the Department of Defense is out of Wichita, God forbid, but Project MFG, I don't know if you've heard of these guys, they got a collaborative effort with communities, educators, and industry leaders, and they've got these competitions called Clash of the Trades. They just had one in Brussels, of all places, but that's the kind of thing, not just for veterans, but for everybody, for high school kids.
Sure. Look, take American Idol. Cross out idol and write in icon, and then go on a search for the best welder, the best plumber, the best. You know, we can do that. You know, I mean, we get to choose the definition of a good job.
Yeah,
we get to decide. You know, what's aspirational and what's not. That's why it's a fun space to be in. You know, because it's really just a question of where do you want to shine the light and who do you want to call attention to. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that project sounds terrific. And I hope your listeners know if there's a son or a daughter who's struggling and not quite sure what to do with their life, or maybe people want to hit the reset button, you know, we'll give away another $1 million in a few months in work ethic scholarships. And please apply microworks.org. We do it every year. We kind of do it constantly now. So, you know, look, it matters to me, Randy, because there's, you know, something's going on right now in this country that really has never happened before, at least not in peacetime. We have 7 million able-bodied men between the ages of 25 and 54. And they're not only not working, they're affirmatively not looking.
Yes.
They're sitting home. They're watching screens over 2,000 hours a year. And while that's happening, we got 11 million open jobs. Oh. And it, you know, it worries me. It worries me for the country. Never mind all the individuals who could be prospering but aren't. It just, it says something about who we are as a people when we have 11 million open positions that we can't seem to fill.
Yeah.
And many millions of people sitting on their butts. You know, that's a problem. And my foundation, The Whiskey, a Barbershop Quartet song, all these things in some weird way usually wind up giving me permission to talk about that thing. And that's the thing that matters. Mm.
Well, and, you know, taking pride in what you do. We just had a situation on my house, a little water damage. And there was a company called ServPro, which I had never known about.
Yeah.
They're nationwide. These guys got out here in 30 minutes, took care of business, and I was so impressed at how proud they were of the job they did.
Yeah.
And I was like, where's that been?
Right. Well, it's always been there. The thing is, we don't look at it. You know, we find what we look for, you know, and we're not really told to look for that pride. It's there, you know, but when you, it's like, I think we talked about this for a little bit last time we chatted. Like when we took wood shop and metal shop, when we took shop out of high school, you know, what we really did was say that wasn't worth looking at, you know? And so we've removed all of these optical portrayals of work from the sight, from the vision of kids at the most formative stage. People don't even know these careers exist anymore, much less, you know, how to take pride in them. And so, yeah, we have to choose what we look at. We have to choose what we show our kids and what we talk about in terms of work. I think it's important.
Yeah, it's very important. And the fact that, you know, like just like you said, when you talked about wood shop and those kind of things, that was just a class. That wasn't a career. And and now, you know, people that were serious about that and got into that are making six figures doing what they absolutely love, and they're helping their neighbors.
We have, of the 1,600 people that we've trained through my foundation, I'd say a third of them are welders, and I'd say half of them right now are making over 120 grand a year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, if that doesn't wake you up in terms of, you know, getting out there and doing a job, if you really want a job, it absolutely should. But speaking of jobs, we're launching a brand new segment in the new year called Vet Connect, where each week we'll have someone from some of America's biggest companies come on, talk about how much they want to hire veterans and what the current openings are.
I think it's important.
Mike, we got this regular segment called Got Your Six. Six rapid fire questions from Mike Rowe. You ready?
Hit me.
You're an Eagle Scout.
Yes.
What is the minimum number of merit badges you have to earn?
Well, back in the day for me, I think it was 22, maybe 23. I don't know if it's changed today. I think when the dust settled, I wound up with 30.
You are right on. Right on. Strangest thing, you've been everywhere. What's the strangest thing you've eaten on purpose?
You know, in Craig, Colorado, we castrated lambs, and we did it the old-fashioned way, which involved your teeth. So I would say biting the testicles off of a few hundred baby lambs.
When is the last time you had or gave a massage?
Well, if you count this morning, I was very kind to myself, if you know what I'm saying.
Gotcha. What is your... What is your favorite podcast right now besides yours?
Aside from mine, let's see. What did I just listen to? You know, I'll listen to Rogan here and there.
Right.
I'll listen to Malcolm Gladwell here and there. And I'll get some news from the Daily Wire with Ben Shapiro here and there. I don't really listen to many from start to finish. But I do like to know what's going on out in this place I call Podcastlandia. So I kind of, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a scattershot deal for me.
You got to listen to it. We've got a podcast called Celebrity Salute. You got to check that out.
All right.
Because you'll,
I'll do it.
You'll be on it. So this, you're also an on-air host for QVC. I wish I could find some of that video.
It's out there. I mean, I can't recommend it, but if you really want to go down a rabbit hole, Google Mike Rowe QVC and you'll see some things.
Can you give us a sales pitch right now for your mom's book, Vacuuming in the Nude?
Vacuuming in the Nude and Other Ways to Get Attention is the third book by New York Times bestselling author Peggy Rowe, also known as my mother. In this book, you'll get a firsthand look at what it took to become a bestselling author. Spoiler alert, the woman wrote every day for 60 years, every single day.
Wow.
Without getting a publishing deal.
Wow.
Then when she was 80, it all fell into place. Yeah, this is her third book. She's writing her fourth right now. She'll be 85 next month. She's on fire.
She's so funny. She's so incredible. Mike, last question for the Got Your Six. Of course, our show, our network is National Defense Network. We need a little jingle for National Defense Network. If you can do something right now on the spot, we want to donate $5,000 to your foundation.
We've got a pick. Don't forget your six and answer the questions with Randy now.
I love it. Mike, we're going to donate $5,000 to your foundation, man. Thank you for everything that you are doing for everybody, man. I'm just having a great life, and it's just so great to talk to you.
That's incredibly generous of you, but don't use what I just did. Let me write you something proper, and I'll send it to you early in the year.
Okay. That sounds great, Mike. Thank you so much. Hey, listen, have a great Christmas and a fantastic new year.
Merry Christmas to you and yours, Randy. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you
so
much.
And thank you again. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. So honored to. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.